What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com. It's supposed to be a day off, but I can't help myself. Here I am, Fightful Select, with a rare Fightful Select newscast. I like to do this when it feels like things are pretty bare. I go through some of the news stories that we've dropped on Fightful.com. Of course, we still got the backstage report coming up on Monday. But we can go ahead and talk through some of the stories that have unfolded over the past week. Now, we have a bunch of stuff from podcasts, Q&As. There are a lot of fighters, wrestlers, and the like doing Q&As, like Jessamyn Duke talking about her and Shayna Baszler getting attacked in a street fight. They basically disarmed the attackers years ago. We have stuff like that where people are reflecting back on things. But as far as the news goes, Cody versus Jimmy Havoc announced for the March 25th AEW Dynamite. Assuming that Florida doesn't go into a complete lockdown, Jimmy Havoc just has not been used much in AEW, and I don't necessarily think that's on them. I just think that he might not quite be what they thought that he was in many regards. But he's getting a big spot against Cody this week, and as we've seen, Cody likes to make people look really, really good. But I think that it was bold announcing something even this far out, but you know what? You got to try to move on if you're AEW, and I thought what they did with their show last week was outstanding. Kazuchika Okada says two Tokyo Dome main events back-to-back is not something he'd be in favor of again. He called it too much physical punishment and a lot of mental strain, and he says, I don't want anybody to think that was an easy undertaking at all. The thing about that is, if we're talking about WrestleMania being 2 days, it's likely that it'll be completely different rosters and different people involved. Wrestle Kingdom, you had to have two Wrestle Kingdom quality main events back to back. And I would imagine that is really tough to kind of tolerate physically. Because, I mean, it is violent there. Violent there. And to have to go to that back to back, it's rough, and we heard Kota Ibushi say that he started to have anxiety at the end of December about even headlining the Tokyo Dome. Well, imagine that. Imagine that when you got to do it 2 days in a row like these guys had to do. That's unbelievable stress to put yourself under physically, mentally, emotionally. And they did it, and they pulled it off rather well, and we're going to see a 2-day WrestleMania for better or for worse due to the circumstances. And I wouldn't be opposed to them doing 2-day WrestleManias in the future. I know a lot of people are like, oh man, it can't change. It can't be different than what it used to be. Yeah, it can. Things change all the time, and I'm in favor of it. I just do agree with Okada that maybe back-to-back nights is a little tough. A little tough. Marty Scurll talked about Ring of Honor having the best wrestling on the planet, and he says that he wants to make sure that they live up to that. Says that they have some of the best talent in the world, and he loves the concept of focusing on the fundamentals of ROH and Honor and all that, and he says that he brought back the pure title. He talked about working with NWA, New Japan, CMLL, about how they can promote dream matches. It really does seem like Marty Scurll is like, okay, well, we lost a lot of people to AEW, but we have some things that can set us apart from other companies. Now, the pure title is what it is. I think it'll hit for a lot of people, and it will not hit for a lot of people, but it is something that they can get to stand out. Now, that's not always a good thing. Look at Impact's Grand Championship. It didn't work. It was okay for a couple people, but it just did not work. And with that style of wrestling, I think a lot of people expected maybe a shoot style, but it ended up being just regular wrestling in rounds. And sometimes that works, but this one didn't. WWE SmackDown viewership down slightly for the second show at the PC. For the WWE on Fox, it wasn't necessarily a bad number, but I think a lot of people expected when people stay home for them to just tune into wrestling because nothing else was on, and that's not the case. 2.5 million. Now, I understand there's a lot of people that will say, oh, well, DVR and all that stuff, and DVR is a factor. It for sure is, especially when you got a show like this past Friday's, which is largely, and this definitely not DVR-proof programming over the last week and a half. But I mean, in 2014, DVRs existed, and streaming existed, and streaming services existed. All these things were around in 2014, and they doubled their cable viewership 6 years ago compared to today. It comes down to content for me. Comes down to content. Speaking of content, WrestleMania taping this week is what I hear. And as I posted on Fightful Select, I actually heard that they're taping the Raw after Mania as well. I'll go into more detail about the things I had heard from people backstage on the Backstage Report podcast. If you guys aren't checking that out, you need to be. It's 20, 25 minutes of exclusive stuff you'll only hear at Fightful. And I like the idea that they're taping it. And I like the idea that they're taping it in more than one spot. And I like the idea that they're taping it and trying to get in and get out before they don't have the opportunity to do anything different. It's a good move from WWE. And I think that their show has gotten better. I don't know. I thought their SmackDown show Friday was the best they've done from the PC. The SmackDown the prior Friday was the next best, then Raw, then NXT. I could have gone without watching either one of Raw or NXT over the past week. So hopefully they can improve on that. Matt Hardy says if Triple H had been solely in power, he would have had a better opportunity creatively. Change the record, man. That's what everybody says, and it's true. I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions that when you come from NXT, oh, you're one of Triple H's kids. That's not necessarily the case when you get to the main roster. But at least creatively, we see the categorical differences between Triple H and Vince McMahon and the things that Triple H does to make sense of his program as opposed to the things that Vince McMahon does to counter the idea of sense on his programs. So yeah, I think that Matt Hardy would have been in a much better spot. I think that he would have been used for what he's good at as opposed to just keeping him away from being elsewhere to hurt elsewhere. Blood and Guts match not happening on the next AEW Dynamite. Jericho is going to confront Matt Hardy instead. Had to do it. It sucks. It is a bummer. I mean, I personally was entertaining the idea of flying to Newark to do those shows, to go to those shows and to do the scrum more than anything with Tony Khan, but it's not to be. And I don't blame them for stepping away and not doing that because that's one that you need in front of a crowd. And I know that I've said that, oh, you don't have to have Bayley and Sasha in front of a crowd. You don't. They can do either or. Blood and Guts, you gotta have a crowd. WWE is selling I Wasn't There shirts to commemorate WrestleMania 36. I thought this was a hilarious idea. I thought this was so funny. They're going to sell a bunch of those shirts, and they should. It's them turning a big negative into a little bit of a positive. They're making some people smile along the way. They're entertaining a few people, and I like that. I think that's good of them to have a bit of a sense of humor about this. Why not? I think that that's good on them. Good on them. Between this and taping WrestleMania this week, I think that they're doing a few good things and trying to make the best out of a bad situation and, quite frankly, a dangerous situation. So kudos to WWE for that. Oh, man, Dark Side of the Ring, part one. Oh, boy. So I can tell you personally, like, I usually get these ahead of time, and I haven't for season two. They sent me all of season one ahead of time, so I haven't been able to watch part two of this, but the part one, boy, was it something. Huh, Kevin Sullivan was not interviewed for it, but Jericho was, Malenko was, Chavo, Vicky, Nancy Benoit's sister. This is a must-watch, and it is on YouTube, so there's no excuse for you to not watch it. Holy cow, man. David Benoit was interviewed. They were able to use archive footage. They revealed that Kevin Sullivan had allegedly abused Nancy during their relationship. They covered the aspects of Chris Benoit coming up, falling in love with Dynamite Kid's work, Eddie Guerrero's death, including a lot of stuff that I didn't know. I don't know if a lot of it was out there, but I kind of buried my head in the sand about a lot of the stuff about Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit passing at the time. I wasn't covering pro wrestling. I was a wrestling fan, and I still am a wrestling fan, but you know what I mean? I wasn't covering, and I didn't have to know every detail of it back then, and they were my two favorite workers in the world, them and Shawn Michaels. And when they passed, it sucks, man. And when you hear about them coming to Eddie's side and like kissing him on the forehead and Chavo finding him and him dying in Chavo's arms, that's rough, man. And then you hear about directly how much this affected Chris Benoit and the downward spiral that it may have caused and what he was doing immediately after that, going on a freaking European tour. Give the guy some time off. That was that stupid-ass mentality back then of, you just rub some dirt on it and you move on. You move on. Wrestling's how you get better. Well, maybe for some people. But for other people, maybe not. This is a must-watch. This series is so well done. Outside of the weird Montreal Screwjob episode that turned into Russo versus Cornette for some reason, this one is one worth watching, and really all of them are. That I've seen, even the Montreal Screwjob one, they're all really good. You got to check this out. You get stuff from Jericho and from Benoit or Nancy Benoit's sister that you wouldn't have heard anywhere else. And granted, she did appear on Jericho's podcast as well, and it was really eye opening. And Jim Ross talked about it, and he was very blunt about things as well. This documentary series is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. XFL canceled its 2020 season due to the coronavirus. You had to know it was coming. Unfortunate. I thought they were doing pretty well. GCW's Acid Cup. It was a two-night set of shows. We had that covered in full on the Weekender podcast with Steven Jensen. That podcast is going to be your best friend on Fightful Select over the next few weeks because it will be covering a heavy amount of original content between ROH and Impact Wrestling and stuff like the Acid Cup. William Regal says being on NXT as a general manager, done right, it's a valuable role. I completely agree with him that you don't see him sometimes for like a month at a time. And I think that that's the right thing to do. Don't have it overwhelm the show unless it's called for, unless you need it. Unless the story mandates it. But don't force a story. William Regal's awesome. That's why he's so good at it. ESPN going to air classic WrestleMania events to fill that programming schedule. Good. Good. If WWE can do this, good for them. Whether they get paid for it or not, I don't know. But there will be at least one new fan that emerges from this. And some people will watch this. I don't know if a ton of people will, but some people will. And if you can gain any fans out of a bad situation like this, sure. Speaking of a bad situation, Edge, he says, as long as we're safe and responsible, why shouldn't we perform? I tend to agree. I tend to agree, but you got to be safe. You got to be careful. You got to really take things into consideration when you're doing this. And I think WWE is doing a pretty solid job at that so far. Jeremy Lambert, our lead wrestling writer, put together a great, great primer for how you can help wrestlers. There are upcoming shows and shows that have happened, but he's got a full list of them. I know some of them have been canceled, but there's like Black Label Pro, Empty House. You can support OTT Wrestling. There's Synergy Wrestling, For the Crown on Fight TV next weekend. There are a lot of different streaming services that you can subscribe to. There are t-shirt companies that you can buy from. For us, if you're subscribing to Fightful Select, you're greatly helping us. I want to send a heartfelt thank you to everybody on last Monday's show who donated to the Denise Salcedo Swear Jar Fund. She did not know that we were going to do that. I don't think she even knew that we knew that she lost bookings because of this, but Denise, if you couldn't tell, is a fantastic host. She hosts a lot of stuff in the LA area, and there's a lot of stuff to host in the LA area. And because of this, she lost a lot of bookings, and Denise is a part of our family, and she is great. I don't think that I've had anybody come with a higher recommendation than Denise Salcedo did from Sean Waltman, and we love Denise, and we love what she does for us, and she is a fantastic sport about Blue Chew reads about a lot of stuff. And I thank you all so much for being willing to help her. And I thank Jimmy Van a lot because he donated significantly to that as well. Jimmy Van does a lot of stuff for our staff that you guys might not realize. When I got approached last year, I got a very, very, very nice and significant offer from another media outlet. And I went to Jimmy and I said, all I want to know is that me and my staff are good here for the foreseeable future. And that's it. That's all I want to know. I don't want to raise. I don't want you to match. I don't want anything else. And he said to me that Fightful has funding basically forever. And that's all I needed to know. I needed to know that he cared about what we were doing and what we put forth at Fightful, and that he cared about you guys. And that was never in doubt, but you just want to hear it, you know. And he's done a lot of great stuff like that. Our guys, when they go on vacation, Jimmy doesn't dock them anything like a lot of places that I've been at where I've rode at that do that. I appreciate what you guys do. I appreciate what he does. And thank you all very much. If you all like this, I'll do some more of them. But in the meantime, Jeremy and Joe are going live with that Daily Distraction here and there. We call it Daily Distraction. It's not going to be daily, whenever it's called for. And I thank them for doing that as well. They are fun to listen to. So check them out, guys. Thank you all. Backstage Report drops Monday. We're out.